We ain't no city church. We ain't all that. We're country. So here's the title of the message this morning. It's Honor Yo Mama. Okay? Honor Yo Mama. Yo Mama. All right. Well, let's pray as we begin. Father, I just pray that you'll take the message this morning that you have prepared in me. And God, would you just give me clarity in thought and in speech to clearly communicate this. Lord, if there's anything in here that I prepared you don't want spoken, I pray you'll bind my mouth. And Lord, if there's anything I need to share that's not here, would you bring it to my mind? But Lord, I pray that this message this morning would be an encouragement to our mothers. It would be educational for us as a whole. There's a message this morning in here for every one of us, husbands, wives, and children. So Lord, as we honor our mothers this morning, God, I just pray that you'll use this message to bring glory and honor and praise to you. And Lord, that's the ultimate, is honoring you. The reason we can celebrate moms is because of what you've done in our lives, Lord. So Lord, just bless this time now, and we'll just pray you'll use it for your glory and your honor and your praise alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we're only going to look at a couple of verses. If you want to turn there, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And so that's the only verses we're going to look at. We'll get to that here in just a few moments. But as we begin, so today is Mother's Day, obviously, and it's a day which was designated to honor mothers and celebrate motherhood. Mother's Day is not a Christian holiday, nor does it commemorate any aspect of Christian faith. Mother's Day is a 20th century civic holiday established by Congress and the President of the United States in 1914. How many of you knew that? Okay, so you've learned something already. It was established in 1914. It is not mandated in the Scriptures, has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, nothing to do with God, and for that reason, it is observed by people of every religion and no religion. Okay, so we can't say that Mother's Day is a religious holiday. A cynical person might say that those who most enthusiastically support Mother's Day would be the florist, greeting card companies, candy manufacturers, and restaurant owners. Obviously, they are all in on Mother's Day and other holidays of that sort. President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed Mother's Day a U.S. holiday as a result of lobbying by a lady named Anna Jarvis. How many of you have ever heard that name? I don't think, I saw a hand. All right, so you've learned, that's two things you've learned this morning. A little known fact of history was that Anna Jarvis spent the last years of her life attacking the holiday for mothers that she helped to get established. In her later years, she confessed that she regretted having anything to do with Mother's Day because of how commercial it had become. Isn't that interesting that the lady who pushed so hard for Mother's Day to be created fought against it because it had become very commercial? Anybody feel that way about any of the holidays? I feel that way. Now, I love Christmas, but I feel like it's all commercialized. Easter is not about Jesus. It's about Easter eggs. And the bunny rabbit, and these things that, you know, that have been created to get you to spend money. Valentine's Day. Card companies and chocolate companies, they love that. Flower companies, and they guilt you into spending money to tell your wife you love her. Tell your wife you love her every day. Every day is Valentine's Day. Amen? It should be. It not always is. Gina doesn't give me a card every day, but, you know, I love her and she loves me, and we know that, and we don't make a big deal of Valentine's Day. So if that's true, then why even acknowledge it here today in a Christian worship service? Well, first of all, I'd be tarred and feathered if I just let it go and didn't say anything. Y'all would run me out of town on a rail. But the real reason is this, that God commands us to honor our mothers. And this is a great day to do that. Although we are not obligated by the Scriptures to consider motherhood on this day, neither are we prohibited from doing so. It's a matter about which we have complete freedom. And Paul wrote in Romans 14:5, he said, "One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. So the same principle that applies there applies today to Christmas and to Easter and to Memorial Day and Independence Day and Lent. There are no biblical mandates which require us to celebrate these days. I've talked about it often when we get to Christmas, and we should. Look, as believers, as followers of Christ, we ought to make a big deal about the birth of our Savior. But you won't find anywhere in Scripture where Jesus said, "Hey, y'all make sure you throw me a big party every year on my birthday." The Lord wasn't concerned about us remembering His birth. He was concerned about us remembering His death, burial, and resurrection. And He said that. But if we want to celebrate them, we're free to do so as long as we're doing it to the Lord. Okay? So in other words, as long as the focus is on Jesus Christ and our intent is to honor and glorify Him, so with that as our goal, let's see what the Scriptures say about honoring mothers this morning. First, the Bible does instruct us to honor our mothers. This command is important enough to be included in the original Ten Commandments given to Moses, and it is repeated in the New Testament. Ephesians 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother. Okay? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth which the Lord your God has given you. Ephesians 6, 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, look at me, children. This first part, I want y'all to look up here and listen, okay? I don't want you, you can color in a little bit. You'll tune out in a little bit and you'll know when I'm not talking to you anymore. But this first little part, I'm going to be talking to you. So if you're a child and you go, "How do I know if I'm a child?" If you're not 18 and living out on your own, you're still a child. You're still at your mom and daddy's house. You're still under their authority, okay? So you listen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean you go out and do illegal things because mom and daddy said to. It means the things that your parents, when they lead you and the things you know are right, that they're telling you, you obey your parents. Okay, and we're going to look at that. But obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And again, here in Ephesians, honor your father and mother. Honor them, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, I don't know how many of you, when you read that verse, I cannot help but think about a quote I've heard all my life that goes kind of like this. I brought you into this world. I can take you out. And I can't help but think of that. So, children, obey your parents because they brought you into this world. They can take you out, okay? It's what the Lord has told us to do. We're to obey our parents. So what does it mean to honor? What does it mean to honor your mother? Well, let's look at the word honor. The word honor means this. It means to prize. To prize, i.e., example here, fix a valuation upon. By implication, to revere. And that means to have deep respect or admiration for. It means to really lift them and hold them up in high regard. That is to honor your mother and your father. Here are some synonyms. Synonyms for the word honor. Recognize, thank, celebrate, commemorate, congratulate, acknowledge, salute, commend, praise, compliment, credit, applaud, cheer, extol, laud, memorialize, extol. Extol. Acclaim. Glorify. Hail. And tout. Those are all words. Not a single one of those is a negative thing. Right? So when we're talking about honoring of our parents is to have a high regard, a high esteem, to think highly of them and to pay them that honor. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. Well, you don't know my mama. Or you don't know my daddy. And you know what? They're not perfect. You know what? Listen, understand this. Let me ask you. How many of you mothers, seriously now, how many of you mothers have a different view of your mother since you became a mother? Raise your hand. Fathers, raise your hand if you have a different view of your parents since you became a parent. Raise your hand. Okay, the rest of you just ain't there yet. Y'all just ain't there. I got a whole different view of my parents. I got a whole different view of my parents after I became a parent. I have a different understanding. But listen, not every mother is perfect. Not every mother is praiseworthy. You hear that? Not every mother is. But Scripture doesn't say, honor your mother if she is worthy. Amen? Or, oh me, preacher, now, oh, I can tell where this is going. This ain't going to be good. I'm not going to like this morning. See, this, it says to honor your mother. If she brought you into this world, she is the mother that God gave you. And He says to honor her, period, end of story. But I hear it. I can hear it in your heads. But, there are no buts. Stop it. Just stop it and obey the Lord and honor your mother. Now, we could preach a series for weeks on this. And what does that mean? What does that look like? Do I have to this? Do I have to that? No, it says honor them. It's simple honoring here. So what does that mean? We're going to talk a little bit about that. All right, kids, eyeballs back up here. Pencils down, eyeballs up here. Because I'm going to talk to you for a minute, okay? And so if you're a child, again, if you're under the age of 18, you're not a legal adult yet, you're still a child, you're living at home, then honor means this. It means to obey, to submit to her authority. And not, listen, and not just obey what she says. Well, I did it. I did it, so I obeyed. You know what? That's not obedience. That's not obedience. If there's this attitude. See, we should obey. We should obey, but it should be graciously. Mom says to do something, you ought to respond very graciously, very kindly to her. And yes, ma'am. You ought to be willing to do what she asks you to do. You're on the couch watching TV. Mom's been cooking, and she asked you to come do something. You ought to be glad to do it, and you ought to be willing to do it. There ought not be any of this, I don't want to. And there should be cheerfulness in it. So you ought to be gracious, you ought to be willing, and you ought to be cheerful in this. Now, outward obedience, if it's accompanied by... There's a couple of things that it can be accompanied by that it's really not obedience, okay? So if there's hostility or aggressive attitude, then you're not really being obedient. If there's anger involved with responding to what you've been asked to do, you're not being obedient. You're not honoring your mother in that. If there's back talk, and see, here's some obedience thing right now. I've asked y'all to put your pencils down and look at me. And so that tells me there may not be some obedience at home because you in 5 minutes, you're not listening to what the preacher asked you to do right here. I'm wanting you to look at me and listen because I'm talking to you children right now. Thank you, because your eyeballs have been on me the whole time. Thank you. So if you're angry when you're asked to do something, you're not honoring your mother. If there's back talk, if you argue with her, well, I did it last time. You're not honoring your mother. If there are threats, and you go, threats from your child? Yeah. There's older kids. Yeah, get a little older, and now they want to start trying mom and dad because they're big and tough now, and they want to, like, threaten. You're not honoring your mother. And we're going to deal with what's going to happen because you're, the problem's not so much with mom now, it's with God. Or if you have a resentful attitude, And a resentful attitude is expressing bitterness or indignation. So it's like, well, okay, but that's not honoring to mom and dad. That's not honoring your mother if you huff off to comply to what you've been asked to do. Or if you say, I hate you, or this isn't fair. We could have a whole message on what's fair and not fair. But we won't. It's not fair. You're right. You're a child, and she's your mother, and what she says do, you should do. And you should do it willingly and cheerfully and thankfully and graciously. And you shouldn't be thinking, well, I shouldn't have to do this. I'm just a kid. But she's teaching you, helping you to learn, to be a good adult one day, okay? That's what she's trying to do. But if you act that way, if you act in those ways, listen, you are not, that's not obedience. And you're not honoring your mother. And here's the deal. If you're not honoring your mother, you're being disobedient to God Almighty. Okay? So kids, that's why this says that. to honor your father and your mother. Because when you honor them and you obey them, then you're honoring God and obeying God. When you don't do what God's told you to do in that regard, you're dishonoring God. You're being disobedient to Him. And you can't have a right relationship with God when you're treating your mother that way. Amen? Y'all understand that? All right, kids, you can pick up your pencils and go back to drawing. And I'll leave you alone. But now, moms, that can be helpful for you. Amen? That can be helpful for you. And so I'm going to help you with some other things here. Parents, I'm going to talk to parents a little bit. Simply forcing your children to do what you want is not teaching them obedience. Now, you can force them to do it. You can tell them to do it. Why do I need to do that? Because I said so. And you know, you can do all that, but you're not teaching them obedience. True obedience flows from a heart attitude that freely accepts the mother's rightful authority. That's where that comes from. Our obedience to things is when we recognize the authority that's given. When an officer turns the blue lights on because you're speeding through Geneva and you get pulled over, you do that because you recognize the authority that they have. We're submitting to that authority. And there's a lot of authority in our lives, and we need to teach our children what this God-given authority is. And so why is that important that they understand this authority? Because the authority of parents is given to them by God, and so the attitude the child develops toward the parent's authority will be the attitude that they have toward God's authority. And you, I don't know if I really follow that. Well, let me give you an example. I have a dear friend who, as his boys were growing up, he had a problem with law enforcement. He didn't like police officers. He didn't like cops. And talked to him a lot about it because I said, man, you're really speaking against a God-given authority here in this. Ah, they're just, you know, he just had a lot of negative things to say. And he would say it around his sons, and he modeled around his sons. And I can tell you today that both of his boys, in a lot of ways, have been very rebellious toward the law. But not only toward the law, they never showed a great respect toward their parents. And they never showed any respect at all towards the church or the pastor or anything in our church. And ultimately, they don't have a respect for God. Because if you reject authority at any level, you're going to reject it at that level. It's important that you understand, parents, where your authority comes from, and you help children to understand where your authority comes from. It's not just because I'm your mama, and that is true, but because you're their mama, God has given you authority over them, and they need to submit to that. So parents, if you allow your children to ignore and despise your authority over them, then they will learn to ignore and despise God's authority over them as well. If they have contempt for your rules as a parent, then they will have contempt for God's law also. So I urge the mothers here today, you must teach your children to honor you by respecting your God-given authority, not only in behavior, but also in attitude. All right? Now, fathers, okay, you must insist that your children honor and respect their mother. That's a huge job for us as fathers, is for to help our children understand, but to teach them and to hold them accountable to that they honor and they respect their mother. Otherwise, it'll be very difficult for them to honor and respect God. You think God doesn't discipline? And I know some folks don't like to discipline, but you think God doesn't discipline? You know, are you more holy than God? Do you have it figured out better than God? Listen to what God says, Hebrews 12:7. If you endure chastening... Now that word chasten means to chastise. Literally with blows. People say, well, you can't spank your children. The scripture contradicts that. You don't abuse your children, but there is a place for discipline, okay, with paddlings or whatever. So literally with blows or figuratively with words. There is a chastisement. Hence, it means to instruct. Bind, chasten, chastise, correct, instruct, punish, reform, reprove, teach. That's what we're to do, and that's what God does. And He says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Look, God, when we get out of place with the Lord, He's going to chasten you. And if you say, well, I'm a believer and the Lord's never, He's never taken me out behind the woodshed, then I'll tell you this, you're not a child of God. Or you've been perfect in your walk. But if you get into sin as a believer, it's going to be like the little boy that was in church. He wouldn't do what the dad said, and the dad grabbed him up, and they head out, and the boy says, people of God, pray! Because he knew what was coming. We must discipline our children so that they understand and they know. I've seen it in my family where they want to have a conversation with a three-year-old like they're 30 years old. A three-year-old doesn't comprehend, doesn't understand, doesn't have vocabulary. They haven't had life experiences that a 30-year-old has, or that matter, a 10-year-old has had. So don't treat your three-year-old like a 30-year-old and expect them to understand. Sometimes it takes. I had a friend. Listen, you're going to go, oh, I can't believe you did that. He didn't knock teeth out. He didn't bust lips. But his kids got smart in the mouth, and he'd pop them right there on the mouth. I mean, not even enough to hurt them, but boy, it got their attention every time. Hey, hey, hey. He said, the best way to get their attention is to get it with whatever it was that if they're in sin or rebellion or whatever, to get their attention. I can't believe he did that. I thought it was fantastic. It was effective. It was effective. Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, here's what the Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. When the Lord chastises us, when He takes us behind the woodshed, when He ties us to the whipping post, Randy, we should respond, amen, we should repent and turn back. So if you're loved by God, you will be chastened, you will be disciplined when you are disobedient. And if you love your children, then you will chasten them, you will discipline them when they do not obey, when they're disobedient. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. Man, we've got to discipline. Now, I want to give you another example of this, how important it is to understand how to honor your mother. A former pastor of mine, I'll just say Jeff, he told the story several times. I heard him share it, but he was about 16. And you know what happens when we get about 15, 16 years old, right? We know so much. We're so smart at that age. I wish I were as smart now as I was when I was 18 years old. Never smarter in my life than then. But at 16, he said, you know, you get to that age where you start sowing your oats a little bit. You start wanting to try. You want to bow up to dad or whatever. It wasn't that kind of a thing. But he sat down at the dinner table. His mother had fixed a nice meal. He sat down at the dinner table. And I don't know what the conversation was. But at some point, he smarted off to his mother. Said something very disrespectful. He says, it was no more out of my mouth. He said, I wasn't even sure what had hit me, but he realized it was his dad, and his dad had grabbed him and threw him, didn't kick the door open, he threw him through the back screen door. Threw him through it. He lands in the yard. He said, I'm trying to figure out what has happened. He said, before I can really figure out what has happened, my dad has now grabbed me here. He's grabbed me, picked me up, and he said he slammed me on the hood of the car. And he got in my face and said, son, that's my wife. Don't you ever talk to her like that. Some of the ladies are shaking their hands like this, and some of the guys are shaking their heads like this. And see, here's the thing. I'm not condoning that as a proper way of doing it. But you know what? Here he was a pastor in his 40s at the time, he never forgot that. And he said, I never misspoke to my mother again. And his dad, at some point in there, his dad was in his 80s. He still would not have tried his dad at that point. I wasn't going to try my dad. My dad had cancer. My dad had cancer and was skin and bones. And I wasn't going to try my dad at that point. I was not going to do it. Dad got dad strength, you know. With the sons, that's their kryptonite, man. We just don't have any strength against dad. So I'm not saying that's the model method for discipline. But there's women in here going, you know what? I wish my husband had taken care of some of that smart mouth with our kids when they were younger. so that they didn't have that smart mouth now and they would honor and respect me the way they're supposed to. Amen? Disciplining your children helps prepare them to submit to God. Discipline is very important. Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It's important, guys. Fathers, it's important that we teach our children how to love and honor and respect their mother. That's a big part of what we're to do. Husbands, do you honor your wife? What your children see you do, they will do. What they see you do, they'll do. How you treat your wife is how they'll treat their mother. You may have the greatest impact on how your children honor or dishonor their mother. So men, do your job. Do your job as a husband, as a father, by modeling the proper love and respect for your wife so that your children see that. So your boys grow up to honor and love and respect their wife. So that your daughters understand what it is to be honored and loved and respected in the right way. Don't treat your wife in a way that you wouldn't want somebody treating your daughter one day, okay? Husbands and wife, how do you treat your mother? You know, both of us, husbands and wives, when you think about this, how do you treat your mother? While true, you no longer are obligated to obey your mother, you're still obligated by Scripture to honor your mother. Children often develop their attitude toward their parents by observing how their parents treat their grandparents. They watch how their parents speak to their grandparents, and they listen to how their parents talk to other people about their grandparents. Your kids hear that. The way you're talking to your parents, they hear that. And you know what they would equate? That's your mom and dad. And if you talk to them like that, why can't I talk to you that way? Why can't I dishonor you the way you dishonor your mom or dad? Moms and dads, ask yourself, how do I speak about my parents in front of my children? How do I speak of them to other people? Am I honoring them with my speech or am I showing contempt for them? Do you talk badly about them around your children? Do you talk badly or harshly to them around your children? Your children will see this and learn how to honor their mother or you as a mother as well. Pay attention sometimes to your tone of voice when you're talking with your mother. Is it kind, gentle, gracious, or is it impatient, contemptuous, angry, bitter? Do you speak to her as if she's dumb, or do you respond as if her opinions are worthy of consideration? How do you treat your parents? How do you treat your mother? And parents, what tone of voice do you permit your children to use in addressing you? I'm around kids a lot here. And I hear how sometimes they talk to their parents. Folks, don't let your kids talk to you with a tone of voice that you wouldn't let any adult talk to you that way. We allow our kids sometimes to get away with stuff. There's no way you would allow someone else to talk to you like that. Well, they're just children. Well, sometimes we want to talk to them like they're 30, and then we want to excuse their behavior like they're 3 months. We don't need to do that. Is it one of respect, indifference, or is it haughty, arrogant, dismissive? How do they talk to you? Well, that's just the way kids act, you might say. No, not quite. It's the way that ungodly, sinful kids act. And so your job is to train them to act otherwise, to teach them the godly way to interact with you. Why is it even important? Because tone of voice reflects heart attitude. And your children's attitude towards you as their mother or father will determine their heart attitude toward other forms of authority and ultimately toward God Himself. It is imperative that you teach your children to speak to you with respect. Does that mean that you can never say anything negative about your father or mother, never discuss any of their human failings? Do you have to pretend that they were perfect parents? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean you need to guard your heart. And if your attitude toward them is one of bitterness and resentment, then you probably shouldn't air your feelings about them in public. I'm not saying that you should lie, but your goal should be to build them up in the eyes of others, not tear them down. If you have unresolved issues, then work those out with them. Or if it's not possible then to work it out with them, then work it out between you and God. But work it out. Ask God to help you forgive them and to give them an appreciation, to give you an appreciation for them. But just to go around trashing your parents and blaming them for all of your personal problems is not honoring them. You know, again, there's family. Now, this was me. Listen, I won't even go to family. I'll go to me. My dad didn't give me a whole lot to respect as a young man. Now, as I'm older now, I look back and I see the good. I see a lot of the good that was in him. My dad was an alcoholic his whole life. In his later years, his last probably 10, 12 years of his life, he was hooked on opioids. My dad had always been an addict. And he went through many failed marriages. He went through just lots of problems. But there was a point at 16 years old where I hated my dad. I mean, I absolutely hated my dad. If he had dropped dead, I wouldn't have cared. And we had a lot of conflict because of that. And I'm just confessing to you where I was at. And as a young Christian, I tried to reconcile that. Oh, I forgive. I was 26, 27 years old before I really fully forgave my dad. And then I had kids, and I became much more understanding, much more. And then I find out more about how my dad was raised up, how my dad never had a dad. He didn't have a dad. He didn't have someone that modeled for him. And my dad didn't know the Lord, so he didn't have those helps. And I became much more compassionate about that. But what I realized was I could spew out a book like this about all the things my dad had done to make my life so horrible. And God said, well, what about me? You're my child. Why are you blaming him? Because I'm trying to teach you everything you need to know. So boo-hoo. Your father wasn't the greatest father. There's a lot of people out there that have fathers that aren't the greatest father. But you've got the greatest father now in me. And I'll show you and I'll teach you everything you need to know about being a father and being a husband. Stop trashing your father, your earthly father. And I was very convicted about that. And I really worked to change that attitude. And our relationship in the latter years was reconciled. It was never what I would have hoped it could have been. But it was a lot of reconciliation. It starts with forgiveness. And you stop trashing them and blaming them. Because the problems in my life, at some point, I have to own them. I've shared with y'all. Y'all know my story. I was physically abused. I was sexually abused. I was emotionally abused. I went through broken home. But that's not my story. My story is that Jesus Christ saved my soul. And He's given me forgiveness for those who hurt me. And He's allowed me to heal. And I'm not defined as a victim. I'm victorious in Christ. Now, I still have scars. I'm not saying, you know, we've been talking on Wednesday nights about forgive and forget. I wish we could just highlight problems and hit delete and they'd be gone. We'd never hear them again. But I got a scar on my leg. It's 6 inches long where I was thrown out of a car and gashed my leg open. To this day, I can tell you how it happened. I can tell you how it felt. I can tell you, you know, all the pain that came with that. But today it doesn't hurt. Because I let it heal. I put the medicine on it and let it heal. Problem is, we don't let hurts heal. We're still 50 years later blaming mom and dad for something. They messed up. They're human. Do you know anybody else that's human? I did. I knew me. I was human. And so when we stop picking the scab, we stop just picking the sore of whatever it is, and we give it to God, and say, Lord, I just turn this over to you, and I release them. I choose to forgive them. I'm not going to hold this against them anymore. You know what He does? He brings healing. He brings healing into your body, into your heart, into your mind, into your spirit. And you know what happens? You start to forget all those things you had against them. So there is some truth to forgive and forget. When you truly forgive, you'll start forgetting a lot of those things. And that person you were mad at, they walk in the front door back there, and you can remember the time they walked in, you just went, and your blood pressure went up, and your face got red, and you're rehearsing in your mind, oh, I can't believe what they did. When you really forgive it, you know what happens? You see them come in, and your blood pressure doesn't go up. And the first thing on your mind's not man, what they did to me. Boy, if people just knew. Blah, blah, blah. You really do let those things go, and you move forward. Man, if you want to be, you want your kids to honor you, man, honor your mom and dad. Don't trash them in front of them. You may not be able to say anything good. But don't say anything bad in front of your kids because you're teaching them how to treat you. Paul's instructions to us on the topic of speech apply just as much to our parents as to anyone else. And he writes in Ephesians 4:30, he says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." Wow. So, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away for you unless it has to do with your mama or daddy. There's no exclusions there. Let it go, right? Let it go. If you find yourself speaking of your parents, not with love and affection, but with malice and bitterness, then you need to repent of your sin and ask God to give you the grace to forgive them. Another thing we can do to honor our mothers is to praise them, to verbally acknowledge their virtues and accomplishments, to give thanks for all the things they did for us. The mothers here today know how much a compliment or a word of appreciation go, how far that goes, right? Mothers, tell me, in fact, it means a lot for your kids or your husband to acknowledge you, a word of appreciation or thanks. They're extremely valuable. Listen, those words are extremely valuable words because, unfortunately, they're extremely rare. That's why they're so valuable. Men, it's especially true for us. Perhaps some of us have never once in our life told our mother how much that we love her. Never once thanked her for all the things she did for us growing up. Boy, we can remember all the things she didn't do, all the things she didn't do right, all the ways she failed or fell short. But we forget about her packing our lunch and driving us to ball practice and sitting up all night when we had the flu, listening when you come home from school discouraged because somebody made fun of you, helping you with your science projects, letting you drive when you got your learner's permit, making fried chicken and chocolate cake on your birthday, and on and on and on. I promise you, there may be somebody sitting here who goes, "I can't give you one good thing about my mother." Well, I can give you one good thing. She's your mother. She birthed you. God used her to bring you into this life. If you can't find anything else to be thankful for, be thankful for that. But I promise you, if you look hard enough, you're going to find some things that you can be thankful for what your mother did for you. Why not do that today? Not in generalities, but in specifics. Pick at least one specific thing and thank her for that. Call her up today, if you can. If your mother's still with us, then praise God for that. Pick up the phone, call her, and I guarantee you, it'll make her day, it'll make her week, it'll probably make her month. But I'm going to advise you now, be very, very careful, because if she has a weak heart, you need to lead up to that really gradually, okay? You're going to shock her, all right? And then you need to do the same thing for your wife. Thank her, praise her, compliment her for the things she does for you. Why? Because your children will learn how to treat their mother by watching how you treat her. They take their cues from you, and if you're regularly praising and thanking her, they will too. On the other hand, if you consistently criticize and belittle her, then they will too. Husbands, take a good look at how your children treat your mother. Their attitude toward her will tend to be a reflection of yours. So how do you fulfill the commandment to honor your mother? You willingly submit to her authority. If you're no longer under her authority and don't have to obey, then you show respect by at least considering her wishes. You teach your children to obey their mother. You speak respectfully to your mother and about her, and you teach your children to speak to their mother in the same way. And you praise and thank her and teach your children to do the same. Having said all of this, I want us to remember that when we honor one another, when we honor mothers or fathers or pastors or members of the armed forces or law enforcement or any other person, we should keep in mind that what we're honoring ultimately is Christ in them. Okay? It is Christ. It is He. He's the one who is truly worthy of all honor and praise, and it's His gifts and graces that we honor in one another. Now, that's even true if the person is not a Christian, because their virtues are nothing but the image of God, a reflection of His glory in human flesh. Anything good in any of us comes from Him. Amen? There's nothing good in me. So anything that comes out of me or through me or whatever, it's a result of what God is doing in my life. So is it wrong to honor our mothers or any other person? No, but in honoring one another, we must not stop with that person, but remember that God is the one who is truly worthy of our praise. In our hearts, we must join with the elder standing before the throne of God. In Revelation 4:11, it says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." And finally, remember that no matter how much we respect and honor and love our mothers or any other person, our final allegiance and loyalty must be to Christ. Your mother may be a wonderful woman, but she isn't sinless. Christ is. She didn't die to pay the penalty for your sin. Christ did. She wasn't raised from the dead to overcome the power of death. Christ was. And it's not your mother who will be your judge on the day of judgment. Christ will. And so he deserves our final and ultimate praise and worship. His word is final. His claim on our lives is absolute. And all that we are or will be belongs to him. In fact, as much as we love one, our mother or our father or the rest of your family, our love for Christ must be greater. It's not that it ought to be greater. It must be greater. Christ taught in Matthew chapter 10, it says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Pastor Aaron, I'm going to ask you if you'll come forward, Jim, as we wind this down now. Now, we need to love and honor our mothers and our fathers. But even more than that, we need to love and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is, are you doing that? Parents, mothers, fathers, are you pointing your children to the Savior? Are you encouraging them to love Christ even more than they love you? Is that what you're teaching them? Because here's the thing. We think sometimes, man, we want to hold our kids back. Man, we want our kids to love us. We want their love for us. We're holding back their love. But let them go. Direct them to Christ. And when you do, you'll find that in reality, you've given up nothing. Because as their love for the Savior grows, their love for you will grow as well. Go back to my relationship with my father. If it were not for my relationship with Christ, I would have had no relationship with my father. It was because of that relationship that there was reconciliation. There was because my attitude changed. God changed my heart. He brought forgiveness. He brought repentance on my part. He grew my love for him, which made me very patient and forgiving and loving of my father. Today, as we have an invitation here in just a moment, It's really simple today. If you don't know Jesus, today's the day to know Jesus. Today's the day to come to the Lord. Jesus loves you. God so loved you, he sent Jesus. Jesus came to this earth born of a virgin, took on the form of man. He became a very part of his creation. And he did that because we have sin in us that separates us from God, and there's nothing we can do to get back to him. So God sent his son, and Jesus, born of that virgin, lived a sinless life, and he went to the cross of Calvary, and they nailed him to that cross. He took your place. You were there. You should have been on that cross. He took you and took you apart, aside, and he took your place on that cross. And on that cross, he died in your place. He took the sin of the whole world upon himself. He died for that. And so everything that needs to be done has been done. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're hopelessly lost right now in your sin. If you were to die today, if you don't know Jesus, if you were to die today, you're going to go to an eternal hell separated from God Almighty. God doesn't want that. And he didn't come to condemn. He came to save. Because we're already condemned. We're hopeless without him. So this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we're going to play here in just a moment. We're going to stand and sing. I invite you to step out. And one of us, I'd love to, or we'll have one of our guys, love to just walk you through the gospel. You can leave here today knowing that you have eternal life. Believer, maybe this morning there's some friction. There's some friction between you and your parents. Maybe there's some bitterness, some anger, some unforgiveness. Today would be a good day to get that right with God and repent of that, confess that, and ask God to forgive you of that. And then you can make the steps of reconciling with your parents if they're still here. If they're not here and you didn't have that, you know what? You can still get it right between you and God. This altar's open this morning. There's a place you want to come and pray and talk to God. Parents, today may be a good day to just say, you know what? As a father, I haven't done a good job teaching my kids how to respect and honor their mother. Today'd be a good day to make that commitment and talk to the Lord and just nail that down with Him. Lord, forgive me because I haven't done my job. Mothers, maybe you haven't done a good job with teaching your kids. But I hope today's message helps you. I hope it's helped you. I hope it helps you as a mother or as a child to know how you should honor your mother or how you should be honored. And it's so important. It's not about me. It's about them and their relationship with God ultimately. Amen? Whatever God's doing in your heart this morning, as I pray earlier, as I thought, and I pray this often, is that we truly have come before the Lord and His Word humbly. But we can hear it all day long. If the Lord's dealing with your heart right now, the important part comes in now. Am I going to apply what He has told me today? Am I going to move and respond to what He has said in my heart? And so this morning, if God's dealing with you, I invite you to come and just come to this altar and deal with Him. Father, I pray that You'll bless now in this time of invitation. This invitation, I'm inviting folks, Lord, to come to Your altar, enter Your presence. And just to deal with You, God, on whatever it is You're dealing with us on. Maybe not be concerned about the person to my right or left or those sitting behind me, what they might think. That's the least important thing in the world right now. All that matters is what You're doing in us and what You want to do in us. May we respond to that now in Jesus' name.